Welcome into the Wizards group chat. I'm your host, Ryan Oliver, alongside my man, Chase Carroll. Two straight wins, Chase. Big win over the Hornets. I don't know if that those words have ever been said, but for the Wizards, it's a big win over the Hornets. Even bigger win over the Heat. It's the second time all season the Wizards have won, or the second time this season the Wizards have won two straight games. It's nice to kind of not be on a 16-game losing streak and actually get some wins under our belt. Don't want to win too much because we do want to keep our lottery odds where they are. But I think it was really nice to kind of get two wins under our belts. How are you feeling, Chase? How are you? And two, how does it feel to get a couple wins?
I'm really good, Ryan, and the Wizards winning two straight games has only made it a little better. Like, we watch just about each and every game, so we've been losing a lot. It's tough to watch every game each and every night, and they lose. Like, it's definitely hard. We all wanted this. We all knew this was coming, but when it's actually happening, it makes it a tough watch for sure. So the fact that they win two straight games, we know that they're eliminated from playoff contention. We know all of that already, but the fact that they have put a competitive product on the floor for two straight games, I'm really happy. Like, there's nothing more I can ask for at this point in the season where we know the direction we're going. They, in the last couple games, this is exactly what we wanted.
I think that more so this win over the Heat just shows you that the Wizards are capable of putting a better showing night to night than we've seen most of the season. And probably there's like some wins that have kind of been left on the table here. And I don't mean it in the sense like the Wizards really could be some really good team, but I think there's a much more consistently competent version of this Wizards team than the version we have seen. I think we've seen more, despite losing 16 straight games, I think we've seen more competence under Keith than we did with Wes Unseld. And it comes with moves like moving Poole to the bench and kind of getting him more on ball and things of that nature. And there's a bunch of different reasons why the team was on a 16-game losing streak. But I think what these past two wins have shown me, like I mentioned, specifically over the Heat tonight, was that this team can compete. They're not going to win a ton of games, but there's definitely a version of this team where when everyone's kind of on one accord, everyone's playing hard and kind of like playing the right way. I think there is a more competent version of this Wizards team than we've seen. They got a win tonight where there was no big man in the lineup. So we saw five out. So the starting lineup tonight, for those that may not have watched, was Tyus Jones, Bilal, Denny, Kispert, and Kuzma. Both Bagley and Rashawn Holmes are out with separate injuries or various injuries. And we got to kind of see this, like, let's put five basketball players on the floor and see what we can do. And they hung in all game. We're winning for parts of the game. We're losing for other parts of the game. But we're up 10 late in the game, almost fumbled the bag. It wouldn't be a Wizards game if there wasn't some type of fumbling of a lead, like a Wizards win if there was no fumbling of a lead, kind of. But they were able to stick with it and pull it out. And that's a really good win, Chase. I think that you can't be mad at that.
Not at all. No, they played all the starters heavy minutes, 30-plus minutes for all the starters, the mid-30s. I think we've been begging all season that we wanted to see Bilal Coulibaly get real heavy minutes in a bigger role. And we can definitely talk about his role. It hasn't changed a ton while entering the starting lineup under Brian Keith, but tonight he played a really great game and he's hitting his threes. He's playing defense, heavy minutes. That's all I can ask for out of Bilal here in his rookie season is play heavy minutes and look good in those minutes. Obviously he hasn't produced, I think, toward, you know, the way that we saw early on in the season. We saw a lot more offense, I think, early on. And of course, he's a rookie. He's a 19-year-old rookie. He's probably hit a rookie wall. But I think games like this, we see him perform the way he did in a role, you know, a bigger role is a really good thing to see tonight against a really good team like the Heat. And then, of course, Kuzma and Denny, those guys, when they're playing well like that, They're going to beat teams like the Heat. We haven't seen them combine for those kind of nights many times this season. And I think just the fact that they each played 30 plus heavy 30 plus minute games together, we saw what could come of it. And I kind of liked that they didn't go super heavy into the bench. Obviously Jordan Poole, low 20s, I think what, 23 minutes tonight. That's very, very low comparatively, but I think that's just all part of the game script that Brian Keefe needs to actually consider. If he's, if they're not trying to win as an organization, but I think Brian Keefe should be trying to win games for himself. Like I think he should be definitely trying to see, show a lot of good things on film for himself, because if he really wants to be the head coach moving forward, and I think there's a very good chance of that, they need to be competitive. In two straight games, he's coached a competitive team, and the first game, Jordan Poole played really well and he played heavy minutes. And if the game script doesn't dictate that, I like the fact that he played Poole 23 minutes when other guys are hot. So I thought it was a good coaching game, good coaching games, the last two games from Brian Keith.
Who do you think had the best plus minus for the Wizards, if you just had to guess?
Would it be Denny?
It would be Bilal with a plus 17. Plus 17, and second was Corey Kispert, and then both or all three of Denny, Tyus, and Kuzma were plus 9. So all the starters were a strong plus. Plus minus isn't everything. But I think it says something about Bilal's the game Bilal had, where he was the had the highest plus minus. He had two steals, two blocks, 11 points, had three threes. I think Bilal was a little bit more involved tonight. He's not gonna be an on-ball creator at this point, especially in an offense that has Tyus and Denny and Kuzma and Poole. He's just not gonna be an on-ball creator. And as much as I know a lot of the fans, including myself, would like to see those reps, and I haven't been enamored with the way they've been using Bilal. Like, I think there's some development opportunities have been left on the table so far this season, and I really hope down the stretch they do give him some more of those on-ball reps. But I feel like he was a little bit more involved in terms of like touches. I noticed him on offense a little bit more. And I mentioned last pod that I feel like there's a lot of possessions where I don't notice Bilal. A lot of quarters where I don't notice him, especially on offense. And he's a rookie, so I'm not criticizing him. I think it's on the team, it's on the organization, it's on the coaching to kind of make that a point of emphasis. Like, okay, this is the guy that is the most important player in our organization right now. While Kuzma might be the face in terms of advertising and the best known name and the best actual player, Kuz is not going to be on this team, so when it matters. So Bilal is the guy we need to invest these reps in. So I say all that to say I'm really happy to see him having a positive impact, him playing 36 minutes, him getting eight shots, not a ton of shots, but he's getting a little bit more involved than we have seen in previous games. So I definitely like that. Let's talk a little bit about Poole. Poole didn't have that good of a game. 23 minutes, like you mentioned, Chase. 6 points, minus 21. So that speaks for itself, I guess, right? Six assists, four rebounds, four turnovers, five fouls. So I watched the game. I wouldn't say that watching the game, I felt like Poole was having a terrible game. I don't feel like it was a terrible Poole game. I know the stats don't look great, but he only took, let's see, six shots. So it wasn't, and he was 2 of 6. So it wasn't like he was chucking in was one of those like 3 of 15 games where he's just killing you taking bad shots. Like, he really, I honestly didn't notice him a lot out there. So it was, he was like, maybe he wasn't totally killing them, but it wasn't a great performance. Obviously, he's coming off a stretch where we've seen him play the best basketball that we've seen him play. And that was basically since the last pod. And on that pod, you and I were kind of talking about what we should expect from him going forward. And I was kind of glad to have some type of sign of hope from him, that belief that we had kind of talked about a little bit, that like I remember I mentioned, I'm like, he doesn't just suck now. Like, there isn't, he's not a totally lost cause. And I think we've seen that since a couple weeks ago, our last pod, that we've seen him look a lot better than we previously seen over the past couple of weeks. What do you think about Poole's play, and kind of what can you attribute that to from your perspective, Chase?
Yeah, we both said on the pod, once he was moved to the bench by Brian Keefe, we thought obviously with the way he had been playing in the starting lineup the past couple months, it was really rough. We said this was going to be a really good move for the team, and we also said it was going to be a really good move for Poole, and I think we were spot on with that. We've seen him improve in that role, sixth man. I think that's what he is long term in the NBA, and I think once he accepts that role, if he ever does, he's seemingly been, pretty good in the locker room since that move. Obviously, the first game, he was probably in his feelings about it, as would anybody. I remember when I was in high school, I got moved to the bench, and I've reacted the same way. You're a human being who, in your eyes, is being demoted. But I think he's now taken that role in stride, and he's played really well. He's just been a with the ball in his hands. He was a maestro, especially in that Hornets game. Like, he was making passes that a true point guard makes. And Tyus, of course, has had high assist games, but I thought that was the best point guard play the Wizards had all year against the Hornets. Struggled tonight, obviously, but that's just the kind of player Jordan Poole is. He's a microwave player. If he's hot, he's really hot. If he's cold, it's going to be cold. So there's going to be nights like this. But if he can more consistently provide the minutes he's been providing over the last, I don't know, what, 5 games or so, he has been really good off the bench. And I think this is a long-term role for him. Obviously, in Golden State, long-term, this was what he was, a high volume scorer off the bench who provides solid scoring minutes. I think that's his role here. If we don't have, obviously, an incredible point guard in front of him, Tyus Jones had a really good game today, I would say. I think he had, what, 15 assists, which he's been putting up some games like that. Don't get me wrong. But as far as long-term starting point guard, I don't think he's in the building. So, it looks weird now having Jordan Poole coming off the bench behind a guy like that. But I think this is the right fit for him long-term. So I'd like to just keep him there. Some I've seen a lot of advocating for him to just be the starting point guard. Like, if you need him to have, be on ball, then why not just start him? I just think him coming off the bench against a lot of teams' other scoring guards who can't defend him, I think that is a benefit to him and to the team. So for me, I've really enjoyed the role that he's played here recently.
Yeah, it's been a nice change. And I think what it reminded me of is that so much of the NBA is about being in the right role, right? It's like you see, there's plenty of guys that have had really good careers, have been really impactful players, and have gotten paid well that have been six men, like a Lou Will, Jamal Crawford, Jordan Clarkson's one that comes to mind. Those guys have made good money in the NBA being microwave scorers off the bench. There's nothing wrong with that role. And I don't look at it as a demotion for Poole. I think it's just allocating your resources in a better manner from the Wizards' perspective. And I think that we saw him and Tyus didn't really work together well. And while I'm sure they wanted it to work, Poole has proven to not be great as an off-ball guard, at least in a Wizards uniform. And I know in the last pod, I was kind of saying that I didn't think. I didn't know if I thought it made a difference. And clearly I was wrong about that. Based on the more evidence we've seen, him having more on-ball reps has produced a better version of him. And so if that's what he needs in a Wizards uniform to be successful, I think that that's just it's best for everyone involved. I think the starters honestly look better without him on the floor. That I feel like there's just more cohesion. I think that Jordan Poole's a better player than some of the other starters. I think he's better than Tyus in a vacuum. He's obviously better than Bilal right now, right? As a, in the grand scheme of things, because Bilal's a rookie. But I don't think he's really better than Denny or Kuzma, but you get my point. Like, you could argue in terms of, like, if you're ranking players on the team, he's probably the third best player, but that does not how lineups work in the NBA. I mean, there's plenty of players that have been, like, James Harden came off the bench, right? And was the sixth man of the year and all that. And it was just what worked for that team at the time. So I'm happy that they did it. Wes Unseld wouldn't have done it. And so I'm glad that Brian Keefe was like, this is the right move for everybody. It's best for Poole, it's best for the team. And we've seen that. I want to touch on something that I meant to mention in terms of the lineup we saw tonight. I really think they might have stumbled into something that they need to use more consistently here down the stretch with a five-out lineup, especially the one that we saw with Tyus, Bilal, Kispert, Denny, and Kuzma. I would give that lineup some more run. You're at a point now where we know what Bagley is, right? We know what Rashawn Holmes is. Now, Rashawn Holmes has been playing better, and we can touch on the center rotation here in a minute. But we know what those guys are. Those are known quantities in the NBA. But you know what we don't know fully yet? How good can Kispert be in a lineup that has even more spacing for him to space the floor with a bunch of different guys that can handle the ball, shoot pretty well. Like Denny's not knocked down, Bilal's not knocked down necessarily, but guys that can at least are respectable shooters, like five out, move the ball, everyone can kind of handle and play make. We saw tonight that that was a formula for a win over a really good Heat team that's been playing well lately. And look, would they beat the Heat, in a best of five series? No, but a win's a win, right? So what I'm saying is I think that they should really, I'm not saying start that lineup, like you're gonna need size in certain matchups and that type of thing, but I would give that lineup more of a look because you're at a point now for Winger and Dawkins, you're gonna have to make decisions this offseason on, hey, do we want to extend Kispert? Do we want to keep Kuz around? Do we want to give Bilal the starting position permanently going forward? Like, obviously, the answer is probably yes to the Bilal thing, whatever. But you want to get more on film so you have things to reference, right? Like, oh, this is what we saw when we went small. This really opened up the game for Bilal, opened up the game for Kispert. We saw more of like point forward version of Denny in this lineup. We got to see different things. And that's what I kind of want to see. So I want to make that point. Like, I want to see them play that lineup more and see what we can do. Because I think it could be really beneficial in their decision making this offseason to kind of get more of a feel. Hey, we put our five best players on the floor. Again, I know Poole is one of the better players, but you get my point. Like the five ball handlers that could do something with the ball on the floor at the same time, just kind of like positionless basketball,
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, I think we know what Bagley is. I think we know what Holmes is. I think Bagley should definitely have a role long term. But for me, and Holmes has been playing better recently, but I don't think he's a long term, center fit here in Washington. We've seen over the, past few years in both of these guys' careers, they're often injured. Haven't played a ton of basketball either one of them the last few years, and now they're both injured again at the same time. So we're going to be seeing this lineup definitely a little bit more, whether they want to or not, where there's no other option. And that's where I question why we don't really have a young center on the roster still. Like maybe they consider Bagley a young center, but we don't have a reserve center still, even on a two-way. Maybe they view Amarui as somewhat of a small ball center, but not, I don't. So I still view this lineup not having even a young center. We might as well throw Denny and Kuz in at center at times. And I did like this lineup as well. I think we can see the value in just throwing out your best players and not caring about positions. Positionless basketball, the NBA is moving towards it more and more. There's going to be games where they definitely can't do this, like where it just doesn't make sense. But I think against a team like Miami, Bam, obviously a dominant center, but I don't think size is really the thing with Bam that separates him. Like I think you can somewhat throw out a Kuzma or a Denny against him, compare, like, maybe not a bigger center. You're not doing this against Wembanyama or anything, but like against a team like this, I think you can get away with trying that more. So I do hope we see this lineup a lot more, spreading guys like. When you do that, you're taking Bam out of the paint, so freeing up everything. I absolutely love at least trying it. Why not see it in extended extended role? Unfortunately, I don't think we see this without injuries. But now that we're seeing it and it's working, why not see what we can do with it moving forward?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think I want to see more of that. I thought it was kind of like they fell into it tonight because they just don't have another big to go to, but I felt like when I saw the starting lineup, I was more locked in to see how it went than I would normally be, which I'm always pretty locked in, but I was excited to see, okay, how is this going to look against a team like the Heat with a all-star caliber center like Bam? You know, this is going to be interesting. I knew Bam was going to have like a big rebound day just by nature of being the biggest guy on the floor, but it was interesting to see. Chase, I wanted to ask you about what you thought about the center rotation right now. Obviously, Bagley is the starter. Rashawn Holmes got his, I don't know if it was his first start. I think it was his first start against the Hornets and had a pretty good performance. I believe he had a double-double. And he kind of showed signs of life after he's been out of rotations for like 3 seasons now. But before whatever happened with the Kings, I know he had some off the court stuff that kind of derailed things. And but before that, I mean, he was a good starting center in the NBA. He wasn't, I mean, he's not a wasn't a star or anything, but he was a solid energy big that could play solid defense, could hit a floater, like just played hard. I remember, especially his young days in Philly, like he was just a guy that I liked. And I don't, he's kind of lost his way a little bit in the NBA, but when the Wizards traded for him, and I know a lot of people were like, oh, he's terrible, he's washed. I'm not saying I thought he was great, but I was thinking back, I mean, he's only like 30. I mean, it's not like this guy's old. So if they could just maybe play him and kind of let him get his legs back under, maybe we'd see something. What do you think of Holmes and just the center rotation in general at this point?
Yeah, I would definitely say after trading Gafford, I mean, we got off of Gallinari, we got off Muscala. That had been the absolute worst center rotation in the league. I think you look at it now, I wouldn't say anything different. I'd say it's probably still one of the worst center rotations in the league, but I definitely love the upside. We see more with Bagley than we had seen with Muscala, seen with Gallinari. Those guys offered absolutely nothing to this Wizards team. So the fact that we at least have younger centers in the building. We have guys that could potentially, I think they're both backup centers in this league. Like, I really think Bagley could be a very good backup center in this league, like an elite backup center in this league. Do I think he's a starter? Probably not. I just don't think he provides the rim protection, the defense that you look for in a starting center, but I think he's absolute buckets, absolute great rebounder off the bench is what I would view him as long term here. And I do hope that we do eventually find another starting center, a higher caliber guy that we can throw in there. Cause I do think Holmes will be under, he's under contract next year. So he'll be around too. We'll see what he can do in a longer role. I know he's played decently recently. I'm still not super high on him. I don't think he's going to be on the next good Wizards team by any means.
Oh yeah,
So,
no, definitely not.
would rather see a younger center in the building than him, but he's not playing terribly. So I'm not gonna, kick the guy for no reason. He's played pretty well here recently. But to my point earlier, not having a young starting or a young center on the roster kind of bothers me. Like I wished we would find a way to use one of the two-way spots on a young center, or I feel like there's still roster spots that we can use that on. Like we saw a little bit of Baldwin Jr. center minutes, and I thought he played kind of well tonight. But I don't think he's a long-term center in the league. So I'd like to see a young center on the roster where we now have two injuries at the center spot. We can't find any young center in the G League and give him a chance. Like I just feel like we should be putting a little bit more emphasis in that. And I know we have Vuk overseas. Hopefully he's playing real well over there and comes in and has a, immediately can provide an impact next season. But not having a young center currently on the roster, that kind of bothers me. I'm sure Vuk's definitely in the future plans, and I'm sure he's developing well over in the EuroLeague, but not having one we're seeing play basketball right now is a little bothersome to me. So, two injuries now to the center rotation. I hope we can find a way to get one. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's in their plans at all. Like, they clearly haven't put any emphasis in the center rotation. I think they're like, we could see what we can get out of Bagley. We'll take two picks in order to do that. I'll do that a million times out of a million. I'm not going to be mad at them for that, but, yeah, I think they're kind of just throwing crap at the wall and seeing what sticks with the center rotation currently.
Well, we can tell that the front office didn't particularly think or at least value getting a quality centers on the roster because the during the offseason, we kept highlighting that that was the area we were concerned the most about, and they were perfectly fine running, rolling into the season with just Gafford and Muscala as the only traditional centers on the roster. I mean, and I guess Muscala, when I say traditional, I just mean on the depth chart it says center. But Muscala is like kind of like a forward in a sense because he's not like a big body and he kind of just shoots threes on offense. So, and then they were running Gallinari at center too, which is obviously not a recipe for anything successful. So I definitely don't think that's a huge priority in the organization right now. Let's talk a little bit about just Brian Keefe in general. Like, you know, he obviously was a part of a really long losing streak here, but I don't really put that on him. I think the roster by design, it's really hard to win games when your closer is Kyle Kuzma. Unfortunately, like I don't mean that as a way to disparage Kuzma either. I just mean he's a little punching above his weight. He's not a superstar. So when you're the best guy on the team and you have to close out in these situations, and that's not really what you should be doing, you're gonna have a lot of nights like tonight where you're making a lot of mistakes and you're blowing leads and things like that. And I think we've seen a lot of hero ball stuff in like down the stretch type things that maybe haven't looked as good on Keefe's part, that he couldn't kind of maybe get some other type of stuff going. But in general, what are your impressions of Keefe, and like what is your outlook for him maybe for the rest of the season and going forward?
Well, we always said preseason, like just looking back on Wes Unseld Jr., we said we were looking for a few things with him. We weren't looking for the win-loss record. We knew it was going to be bad. We were going to look for how he was developing his players and whether he was going to actually try to make any changes. Was he going to just throw out the same lineups each and every night and hope something magically changed? That's kind of what we were judging Wes Unseld Jr. on. So if Brian Keefe's now in the has the role, I think we should probably be viewing him in the same way. What is he doing with this roster? We know that we're not going to win a ton of games, but is he trying different things? I'd definitely argue yes. He's trying different things. He moved Poole to the bench. He put his future, I believe the future of the Washington Wizards as of now is Bilal Coulibaly. He said, let's put him in immediately. He's a rookie, 19 years old. I'm going to put him out there and start him and see what the future holds for me. And I love that. Like, Poole has also benefited from this move to the bench. So the win loss hasn't been great. The Wizards haven't looked great up until I think the last couple games. And I'm not fully putting that on Brian Keefe. I think we just don't know yet with Brian Keefe. But I will say he's tried. Like, he's changing things up. Has he been perfect? I don't think so. But I think we're seeing the best basketball of Denny Avdia's career now under Brian Keefe. The closing has been obviously really bad with Kuzma, and I think before tonight, I think Tyus Jones played really well tonight, but he's also been a terrible closer. I don't like that Brian Keefe has continued to throw him out there to end games, even though it hasn't been good. Like I believe I read he had the worst plus minus in crunch time in the NBA. So that's something I think he needs to look at. He hasn't changed. He says he needs him to run his sets. If it's not successful, then I don't know why you need him out there doing that. So that's one thing I'll give him a downvote on. But all in all, I think he's done a better job than Wes Unseld Jr. And of course, not looking at the record, it's been bad. They were what setting the franchise record for losses in a row. So, you can't say it's been wonderful either, but I'd say he's tried to make changes, and that's what I'll judge him on. I think we have plenty more games to go this year. That's what I'm judging him on. How does he make adjustments? Is he good with timeouts? Does he are they better down the stretch? That's the one thing I want to see moving forward here. Can guys look a little better down the stretch? Because each and every game, even games that they win like tonight, they tried their hardest to lose that game. So can we find the right mixture down the stretch? Those are the kind of things I look for on a tanking team like this.
I feel like if the Wizards were going into the offseason and I could think of Okay, from another coach, right? Or the next coach of the Wizards, next permanent head coach. What's the number one thing I want from them in terms of like a skill set? And I think for me, and I think a lot of other Wizards fans, it would be development of young players, player development. Like that's going to be a premium when you're rebuilding. And we have three young guys. I'm not including Johnny Davis, so I'm talking about Kispert, Denny, and of course Bilal, that their development is important, right? And you could probably maybe even leave Kispert out of that because he's older. But my point is, we're gonna have those guys. We're gonna have Vucevic. We're gonna have potentially three other rookies, at least two first round picks that are gonna be on the roster next year. So player development's the thing I want to see the most. And for Keith, that's what I've been trying to keep my eye on the most. In addition to the things you named, which are very important, like the in-games adjustments, the willingness to put Poole on the bench and kind of do those things are very important. But am I seeing growth from Denny? Yes. Am I seeing a better version of Kispert? Yes. The only thing I haven't really seen is Bilal kind of getting more touches and opportunity in the offense. But that could be in part because to maybe they don't think he's ready for that. And I think we don't always, we watch it as fans and we know what we want to see, but I don't know if you want to throw Bilal completely out there to the Wolves on offense and have him trying to create when maybe that's just not what he's ready to do. Now, I think it wouldn't hurt to have a couple more possessions where he's getting those opportunities. And I think that's where you can criticize Keith. Like, okay, if he's doing three more times running pick and roll per game, like that's not gonna hurt him in any way. It only could help. So I agree with that. And I think that's what I want to see. But I think we have seen development from the young players. Like you mentioned, Denny's looked better under Keith than he did under Coach Unseld. And you know, there's been rumblings that they didn't have the best relationship. So Unseld and Denny, that is. So I maybe that's not surprising. But I think that we've seen a better version of Denny. I mean, we've seen a better version of Poole for sure under Keith, playing a different role. So I think overall, I think I'm pleased with Keith. I don't know if I think it's been phenomenal, but I think anyone could expect a guy taking over mid-season for with a roster that's not talented. I mean, for lack of a better word, it's just not a good roster. I don't think you could really ask for too much more. I think the only real critiques are kind of the hero ball thing, as we've mentioned, down the stretch. Like, can you draw up better plays to kind of get them in their sets? And see, this is where I'll come to the defense of him playing Tyus. I think Tyus is just someone he trusts to run the offense. And I feel like Poole does a lot of freelancing, and late in the game, he feels like he needs an organizer and a coach on the floor. So from his perspective, whether it's working or not, from the numbers or whatever in terms of the crunch the numbers, which you mentioned. And I agree with you. Like, I do want to see less ties. So I'm not disagreeing with that point. But I think if I was in his mind as a coach, I think he's thinking, well, Tyus is the one guy that I can rely on to not turn the ball over and to kind of get us in our set and get us organized. Now, whether that's translating to success in crunch time, it doesn't look like it is, but I think that that is the logic, at least, right? That Keith has. So I think overall, I think he'll have a shot to keep the job this summer, but I definitely think I want them to look at other candidates too, and kind of see where it's at. Like, I don't want them to be married to Keith going forward. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like I'm willing to give him the opportunity by all means if he performs as a head coach here and looks really good, gets the team looking good to end the season, by all means win that job. I hope he does. I hope he shows really well down the stretch here. But I'm wondering if you can think of any coaches off the top of your head just currently free that's 100% would not only would come to a team in the situation that the Wizards are, but is a better 100% a better fit than Brian Keith. Like I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm sure there will be a coach that's out there that's a better fit, but to me, I think it's Brian Keith's job to lose in my eyes. I don't think that there's a surefire guy out there that that, for one, willingly takes this team that probably is at least 2 to 3 years away from even being decent. And maybe, of course, coaches have had job security here, whether deserved or not, they have. So maybe that's a bonus for a head coach. But I can't really think of a ton of coaches on the market that would want, one, want to come here right now, and two, is 100% definitely going to be a better fit than Keith. So I think it's his job to lose, and he's trying is what I'll give him. Has it been successful for the most part? No. I mean, two straight wins now, so maybe they're starting to build something up here a little bit, but I think it's his job to lose as of now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the kind of the coaching market. I do think a name that comes to mind is Kenny Atkinson, as I know we mentioned before. But you mentioned like willingness to coach the Wizards, so that I can't speak to that. I don't know what his level of interest in the Wizards would be. I know that at one point he was offered the Hornets job and it looked like he was going to take it, and then he decided not to and then ended up going back to coach Golden State. And at the time, I remember thinking, you know what? I kind of don't blame him. Like, the Hornets are kind of just in no man's land. Like, are they tanking? Are they trying to win? And, you know, living in the Bay Area and coaching Steph and Clay seems better to me too. And you know, the Wizards are kind of, to me, if it with the right culture and coach and front office, the Wizards are kind of like a sleeping giant to me in the NBA in terms of market. Like, if our team was a winner, there'd be such a buzz in the city, and like the coach would be really regarded highly if they could turn it around here. And so maybe somebody like Kenny Atkinson would be motivated by that, or that challenge would be interesting to him. So we'll just have to see. But I can't necessarily think of too many names that just kind of come to mind immediately. I think Kenny Atkinson's a guy that I definitely think we'll get a look, at least a call to see if he's interested, right? Come the off season, see if he wants to do an interview and that type of thing. But we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But Chase, before we close out, I kind of wanted to ask you about the draft. There's been a lot of conversation. I know this is we're getting towards the end of the season, so we've been looking forward to the fact that there's going to be a lottery pick coming our way, a top five lottery pick, I should say, coming our way. And I know a lot of the fan bases is kind of like doing mock drafts and different things I see on social media. There's been a lot of talk about whether the Wizards should even want a top five, top three pick, given that the draft is quote unquote a weak draft and there are no superstars. And when people say that, they typically mean there's no consensus top five. You see one top five and they have Ron Holland in the top three, and you see another draft where Ron Holland's 12th, right? Like, there's just no consensus where you know, okay, these two or three guys are going to go in the top three and that type of thing. Where are you at with whether the Wizards should want a top pick or not, like in this draft, or just that kind of discourse that we've seen on social media?
Yeah, I guess I'd just ask, what else would you have instead? Like, trading back? I guess that could be an option if the front office doesn't have a surefire guy there in the top five, and they think they can gather more assets and future picks, then by all means, if they think that their guy gets to them later on, then sure. Because there isn't a consensus. But I think that they should want that top three pick and take that swing on their guy, because I feel like more likely than not, whoever they view as their guy is not making it further on in the draft. So with there not being a consensus top five, take a swing at who you think fits the mold for the team in the future. Because say they get the second pick and Alex Saar is there, maybe that's who you go with, and you're happy. You get a future center in the building, and that's your guy for a long time. Whether he's going to be a superstar or not in the league, I don't know. I don't know if there's any superstars in this top five of the draft, but why not take a swing there and have a guy that you can use as your future ass? I don't think whoever's picked here in the top three takes you out of the top five next year by any means. So that heavy draft, you're still going to be in top five range to get your Cooper Flags and those kind of guys. So, fit a need because they have big needs all over the roster. They need young talent. So, like, what else do you do if you don't take in the top three? You're trading it for veterans or something? No, thank you. I guess the discourse is probably they trade it for future picks, which could be interesting, but I think they need to jumpstart the rebuild now with some kind of young talent in the building. Like Bilal's obviously going to be a big part of this future. Denny, it looks like it's a big part of the future, potentially Corey. But aside from really a few of these guys here, there's not a ton of guys that you say he's going to be on this franchise when we're good long term. So for me, I think they need to jumpstart it this draft, whether people think it's a good draft or not. I'm sure there's going to be good talent in this draft. Every draft has it, aside for maybe one or two. Even what Otto Porter was a third overall pick for us, and he wasn't great as far as draft prospects goes. That was a really weak draft, but he was a really important piece for a really good Wizards team. Like, I think people forget, obviously, if you view him as a third overall pick, he's bad. But if you view him as a guy who helps this franchise, I think absolutely it's an important pick, whether it's a superstar or not.
There's just talent to be had in every draft. I mean, you look at the Rockets, for example, right? They pick Şengün at 16, and he's the best young player they've picked. So now, I think that the discourse is just interesting to me because it's like, oh, of course the Wizards tanked in a year where the top five pick isn't as worth, worth as much as it would be in other years. And I'm like, well, isn't this the reason why we got a new front office is for them to draft well? This is literally it right here is I want a top three pick because I want the opportunity to have my pick of the guy. So if you think that Stephon Castle is the next big thing or he has the potential to be that and you have faith in him and you want to take him at three, hypothetically, you take that swing. If you think that whoever, right, is worth that pick, I don't care if that's what the mock draft says or not, because we've seen that that doesn't always translate to anything, right? Like what the mock drafts say. So, or what the people that are projecting the draft say, oh, it's a weak draft, but who's to say you can't find the right guy at the in the top three in a weak draft? I mean, that's the whole point of having the front office to me that we have is I want them to identify the right guy and pick him at three or two or one or four or five or wherever the pick lands. But I don't want us to look at it like, oh, well, it's a weak draft, so we shouldn't want a high pick this year. I could see something like this, the kind of like the what the Celtics did when they got the number one pick and they traded to Philly and they only moved back two spots and then they were able to, they had targeted Tatum and they were able to get him because their intel said that the two teams in front of them weren't going to take him. So that was kind of a way of getting more assets and still getting their guy. If they can finagle something like that, where you're only moving back a couple spots and you're still able to get, hey, you know what? We really like Stephon Castle. He's the our the teams in front of us are looking at these other two guys, but this is our guy and we can still get him, then I'm cool with that. Like that makes sense to me. That's just smart. But if we're talking about, I've seen people say, oh, they should trade. If they get the fifth pick, they should trade it back and get like three picks in the teens or like a pick in the teens and a future pick. And I'm like, well, what's the point of that? Like, I don't want a pick in the 12th pick when I could pick three. No, let me pick three. I don't care how weak the talent is. It's the front office's job to pick the right guy. So let's trust our front office and let's let them do their job. Like, I want a top pick. We weren't this bad for us to not have a top five pick. So that's why I'm rooting for Detroit to win games. And I want the Wizards to not get too many wins here. It's nice to get a couple because I want them to have the best odds at a top five pick. Doesn't the worst team get a guaranteed top five pick?
I believe so. Yeah.
So I don't want a chance to slip to seven or slip to eight. I want to know going into the draft lottery that we have for sure a top five pick. So then I'm not let down when we inevitably get the fifth pick. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I don't, that's where I'm at. Like, we weren't this bad. We've suffered. Think about how many years we've suffered since the last good Wizards team. We like this is our time to shine. We've had so many 10, the 10th pick, the 15th pick, the 8th pick, the 9th pick, whatever. Now we actually get a chance at our legit. We actually get a chance to pick. If we pick one or two, we can all the prospects we look at and we're like, man, it'd be nice if we actually had a chance at that guy. That we'd actually have a chance at some of these guys to actually say, oh, we can pick between these couple guys. Like, I'm excited for that. Like, I'm actually, this is the first draft where I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna have faith in the front office to pick the right guy instead of just sitting there bracing for them to pick the one guy I don't want them to pick. So I think we all should just embrace it. Like, let's not try to make it like, hey, well, this is stupid that we're tanking for the you know, and we're tanking in this year. It's like, look, we finally got what we needed was a reset. And I think this is gonna be fun. Like, we're gonna hopefully get a top three pick. Let's let the front office cook. Let's see what they're made of in terms of their ability to analyze talent. There's no, it'd be easy to be like, oh, well, the consensus says we should pick Victor Wembanyama or Zion or Anthony Edwards or whatever. So obviously let's pick them. Like, this is where the true GMs make, you know, do their thing. So let's see it. You know, that's where I'm at. Let's see it.
Yeah, I really liked your point there on the Tatum situation. I completely forgot that they had traded back from that pick. And obviously that ended up being the right choice there. So yeah, if they're doing something like that, I'll 'cause their guy gets to them at 3, 4, 5 or whatever, then by all means, like, go ahead and trade that pick back. But if your guy is there and you have the opportunity to take him at 1, 2, 3, like, I don't care what the consensus is regarding the draft being bad. You're going to get a high impact player at this spot. So, no, I don't want to get rid of this pick by any means. Like, this is important to have a high pick in this draft, whether or not it's viewed as a good one or not. You want that swing to you want to get this rebuild started as quickly as possible. At least I do. I don't want to watch worst team in the league basketball for 4 more years. Like, we very well we're tanking. We could very well be the Kings of old. Like, that's a possibility. There's always a possibility that the rebuild never takes shape into the next step. Finally, the Kings are starting to get there, but it took a very long time. So it's important to hit on this pick in my eyes. Get that rebuild started as quickly as possible because you never know if it'll never end. So give me a swing in that top three, please.
All right, Chase. I know we got to get out of here, but I need you to humor me for like another 3 minutes because I got a last topic. I mentioned this on the last podcast that I was going to pull mock drafts from the Johnny Davis draft. So you ready for this? I pull four. So Chase doesn't know I'm doing this. This is just off the cuff. So I stupid me did not. I screenshot and I edited out the outlets, but I'm just going to tell you where these are all big outlets. I can't remember where each one was, but so we have he was mocked 11 to the Knicks. He was mocked on another mock. He was mocked. This is Johnny Davis, by the way. He was mocked 11 to the Knicks in another mock draft. Another at Sports Illustrated had him mocked 10th to, of course, the Wizards. And the Ringer draft guide had him mocked 13th. Oh, and he was 13th on their big board, excuse me, not mocked. He was 13th on their big board. So those are four mocks. Again, I mentioned in the last podcast that I was going to pull them because I was really curious, like, how did all these outlets mess this up? Now, so it wasn't just Tommy Shepard. Still, it was a really crappy pick, regardless of whether everyone got it wrong. But it's crazy to me when you look at it and you're like, yo, this guy cannot play at all on offense, especially. You know, he actually looks halfway decent on defense. Like, he actually can play defense. But the offense is like shot. I don't know what's going on. But if you actually read these mock drafts and like the little blurbs they give, they're like, oh, like big time mid-range shooter, like needs to develop his shot, but a tenacious defender. And I'm like, yo, we have not got this guy. He was very confident at Wisconsin. That was kind of what people were talking about in the mock draft little blurbs. That's I mean, there was more outlets too. I just didn't want to screenshot all of them that had him as a top 13, top 12 pick. And I don't know how it's turned out so bad, but I mean, his offense just looks so shot. And I don't have anything else to say. I pulled the mocks. Go look for yourself. It's I mean, not that anyone's disagreeing about it, but it's just interesting to look back and be like, how was he mocked this high, man? And he can't play at all. I don't get it.
And I think that goes back to one of the big criticisms of Tommy is we all thought he drafted based on those boards and not necessarily finding the right fit. I know a lot of us in the fan base wanted Jalen Williams and if only that was only that's what we did, obviously that would have turned the trajectory of this franchise in a completely different direction. But to your point, all these places had him mocked in this general range. I never saw it. I was never high on Johnny Davis, the prospect personally. I wanted to go elsewhere with that pick, but no, I didn't think he was going to be this bad on offense. Like people genuinely were saying, we got the next D book. Yeah, okay. Yeah, not quite. We
Oh man.
may have been a little off on that.
Yeah, well, we can end on that note. I don't have anything else to say about Johnny Davis. It's just I'm shaking my head for those that can't see me, which is everybody because this is a podcast, but Chase can see me. I'm just shaking my head. Like I don't have anything else to say. I just wanted to pull those mocks because I was like, I gotta go see for myself. Did anybody have him like in the 20s? I didn't see any place that had him. Not in the teens, at least. And some places had him at like some other places had him at like 9. So who knows? He's been playing more, and I think that he's looked a little more confident lately. But I mean, it's the lowest of bars. So, I wish him well going forward. But Chase, do you have anything else before we close out?
Yeah, it was a big point by Johnny Davis tonight. Without that point, they only win by one. So thank you, Johnny, for the contributions. We need a whole lot more of that moving forward. But no, I don't want to keep digging on Johnny too much. Obviously, he's not been what we hoped, and I don't see a big long-term future for him here. I hope he figures it out on offense. He's a halfway decent to pretty good defender, but in the league you gotta have a little bit of offense to make it unless you're PJ Tucker at this point. So I wish him luck. I hope he figures it out. I just don't see it. I don't see it coming, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm with you. On that note, we will catch you guys on the next one.